You are listening to Covenant Eyes Radio, helping you in your journey to stay pure online. This week, we are featuring a series of podcasts for pastors and other ministry professionals who are secretly struggling with pornography and other sexual temptations. Today, we will hear from Dr. Harry Schomburg, co-founder of Stonegate Resources, a ministry that offers brief, intensive counseling for the sexually broken. Dr. Schomburg is the author of False Intimacy, a book that has become a classic in sexual addiction circles. Recently, he wrote Undefiled, a book born out of 18 years of experience in counseling. Today, Dr. Schomburg will talk about this new book and share a strong message of encouragement to ministry leaders who are struggling with sexual sin.
I've counseled hundreds and hundreds of pastors. I think ministry is a high-risk occupation. It very subtly becomes more about me than the glory of God, the service of God. I think pornography is a way of comforting yourself, a way of infantasy, kind of feed yourself, take care of yourself, because you're hurting, and we're not turning to God, and we're losing the real focus and purpose of our lives.
And now, Dr. Harry Schomburg on Covenant Eyes Radio. Well, Harry, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I'm really excited about talking to you about your new book, Undefiled. And this is a book that's subtitled Redemption from Sexual Sin, Restoration for Broken Relationships. Can you explain a little bit about why you wrote this book?
Well, part of it was I was thinking about writing another book, but had a different book in mind. And a requisitional consultant from Moody contacted me and said, you know, you need to write another book. It's been 18 years, which is very, very unusual. Most people don't do that. We sat down, and he started talking about what we were doing in our ministry, and that for the last 18-19 years we've been working full-time with our counseling program, and speaking and whatnot on the subject and the problem of sexual sin and sexual brokenness and marriages that have been devastated. And as he kind of interviewed me and talked about what I was doing, he said, man, he said, it's been 18 years since False Intimacy and that book. You need to write another book on the same subject. And I thought, that's a dumb idea. I wrote a book on the subject. Why write a book on the same subject? But then as we further discussed the idea, he said, but 18 years later, he said, you've got a whole lot more to say, and you've got 18 more years of experience under your belt. And he said, people need to hear a message of hope that, you know,
right.
People can change because you've seen that. You've worked with it. And he said, this could be, you know, a really powerful book to encourage people in the right direction. And so when he said that, it just resonated with me, and I thought, yeah, this is a great idea. There needs to be some clarity, things that I've learned over 18 years of just dealing with pornography problems and adultery and all kinds of sexual sin. What's the real message that people need to hear, and how can we bring some hope?
This book, as you say, is basically a kind of an outline of your biblical intensive counseling that you do out there in Colorado. You've had something around, 2,500, 3,000 alumni go through this program. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've had over 3,000 people from all over the United States, about 18 foreign countries that have come and gone through our counseling program.
That's great.
And you're exactly right. That's what Undefiled is. It includes some of the material that I've actually taught over the years, the things I've said in counseling. And as you know, Luke, there is each chapter begins with a little counseling vignette of a couple that I work with. Again, kind of describing the process of what each couple may go through as they go through this 8-day intensive counseling program. So it's what we're trying to do is say, okay, we can have a maximum of 168 people go through our counseling program, but there are tens of thousands, as you know, people who need good information, solid biblical information, to really grapple with this problem well. And so the idea is through Undefiled, and there's also a study guide that goes with it, is to really get this out into the hands of tens of thousands of people, not just hundreds of people. And then there's a 15-week study program that we wrote that is extremely comprehensive, that uses Undefiled along with about 12 other resources to really give a very solid foundation for real change in terms of the sexual sin, but also real reconciliation in the marriage. And again, many of those materials are what we've used in our counseling program. So they're like field tested. This is not an armchair therapist sitting down and dispensing, you know, ideas that are theory. This is something that has been worked into people's lives in hundreds and hundreds of cases and changed marriages dramatically. So this is a valuable tool.
Well, and I love the unique approach you bring to this material as well, because there's a lot of books out there that regard sexual brokenness, that talk about how pornography might damage relationships or how it hurts a person individually. And yet you bring a refreshing sort of biblical approach to these topics that it just goes beyond traditional therapeutic models. This is something where you define sexual redemption in a way that goes beyond just a fulfilling sex life, beyond just repairing fragile sexuality from past abuse, beyond saving sex till marriage. And of course, all those things are kind of included in that, but you really drive to the heart of it, saying that knowing Christ fully guards and guides our sexuality, and that really finding satisfaction in God alone is the way that our sexuality becomes whole, is the way that our sexuality is healed, is the way that our sexuality is redeemed, and that sexual maturity must also mean spiritual maturity. Can you describe a little bit about that? Why are sexuality and spirituality so closely tied together in your book?
Well, you know, first off, I really have come to the conclusion, again, through 18 years of experience of counseling thousands of Christians, half of which were pastors, by the way, who
Wow.
got caught in pornography or adultery. I've really seen a crying need for what I would call true spirituality. You know, in some ways, the church is very, very spiritual, but I'm not sure we have a true spirituality. And what I mean by that is I think that a lot of our spirituality is very, very selfish. It's about me. It's about spirituality for me.
Right.
And of course, Christ did die for me in one sense, but in terms of redemption, I need to come to Christ. I need to move from being someone who was under the wrath of God to no longer being under the wrath of God, and now I have salvation. But once that takes place, my spirituality and everything I am and what I'm doing always must have an expression in terms of care and concern for others. I mean, Jesus had two commandments: love God, we got to get that right, and we have to love others. And those two things have to
right.
go together. And I think we live in a very me culture, a very selfish culture, and I think we've developed a selfish spirituality. And the result is that I see that as one of the great causes of the magnitude of sexual sin in the church today. That we shouldn't
wow.
be so surprised that pornography is you know, just unbelievably problematic in so many people's lives, a secret sin, that we have adultery being committed by people in the pulpit. And I think it's because when it's all about me, I can justify anything for me.
Right.
And so it's my career is for me, my ministry is for me, the things I own are for me, it's me. Well then, hey, I want this too, and so in the form of heart adultery or physical adultery, it's just a small step over into that kind of sexual bondage. And so there has to be a dramatic spiritual change rather than just a behavioral change. I think a lot of the books that are out there, a lot of the concepts out there are focused on behavior management. And that always will have a limited effectiveness. But when we start really dealing with what I call sexual redemption, where there is something changing spiritually deep within my being by the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and that begins to change my sexuality, then we have radical change. We have a very, very firm foundation of change in our hearts and lives and in our marriages.
That's great. And I noticed this, that you have a whole chapter dedicated to this, even though it kind of pervades the whole book, is that one of the things you're trying to clarify for people is the traditional disease model of therapy, where you treat sexual problems as neural circuitry in the brain, chemicals and hormones, behavioral therapies that focus on the physicality behind sexuality, that we're just sort of an amalgamation of hormones and physical processes in us, and if we could just kind of tweak those things a little bit, then we'll be on the road to recovery. You do a lot in your book to kind of demolish that model.
I mean, obviously we're a collection of various chemicals, and chemicals, that's how our body works. Without chemicals, it doesn't work. So of course there's chemicals at work in everything we're doing and the functioning of the body, including sexuality. But we are not animals, and
right.
I am not an animal of the highest species, contrary to what humanism might say and evolution might teach. I am a creature made in the image of God, and so we've got to come back and say what really is inside of me. And I strongly believe that in each and every one of us who is born, there's original sin, and my propensity is to do things the way I want to do them. My propensity, in effect, then, is to rebel against God. And I primarily do that with my body. We sin in our body, you know, and the Bible calls it the flesh. And so we've got to address that problem more than, okay, let's secrete more of this chemical, you know, let's use this behavioral management technique, you know, let's deal with this family of origin issue. Those are related to more of what would be considered a disease concept, and our families do impact us. But ultimately, Jesus said that it's what's inside that defiles a person, that produces the sexual immorality, the adultery, and all other forms of uncleanness, is that we're unclean on the inside. And I have been a strong believer for 18 years that that's what we need to address, that's what needs to be changed, and certainly God has got to do that work. It's not solving some family of origin problem or changing the chemical structure of the brain. I'm not opposed to people taking medication for certain things that they need to overcome, but that is not the root cause of what we're dealing with here.
I really wanted to talk a little bit about what you said before about how you have pastors and ministry leaders that come out to your facility out there to do this intensive counseling. Do you get a lot of people in ministry? You said 50% of them have been that.
Yes, it was a little higher percentage years ago when we first started. It's almost 100%. But it's a disturbing thing. I mean, I've been doing this for 18 years, and I'm still, every time I sit down with a pastor and talk about what's been going on, I'm just absolutely floored. I had a man here a while back who was pastoring, and he was involved in an adulterous relationship with his secretary for 6 months and until he was caught. And he said, you know, Harry, he said, this is so unbelievable as I'm now sitting here in your office. He said, I was preaching against adultery on Sunday morning. I was counseling people in my congregation who were struggling with adultery in their marriages. And he said, yet I was committing adultery. And he said, I would look at that. And because the church was growing, I just said to myself, well, I guess God doesn't care. And he continued on in sexual sin until he was caught. And you think about that, and I don't know how it affects you, but I just go, how in the world could we be so far from understanding and applying the truth of God, the truth of God's word to our lives, and be preaching and on one hand telling one person don't commit adultery, and then be turning around and literally be living in sexual sin.
Yeah. Well, why do you think that pastors and ministry leaders so often live in this sort of double world where they're able to reconcile both their sin on one hand, their secretive sin on one hand, and then their ministry life or their public life on the other hand? What are the factors that are the lies that play a role in that? You already mentioned one, that, okay, well, my ministry is being blessed, so God must not care about my secret sin life. What other factors really play into how people can develop that kind of secret life?
You know, in my mind, and I've counseled hundreds and hundreds of pastors, probably as many as anyone or more than most people. And again, it's kind of like the selfishness issue is at core in what we've already talked about. But I believe that selfishness has an individual expression in us, but I think it also gets expressed within a particular context, like a career, a ministry career. And so this is what I've seen over and over and over and over and over again, Luke, without exception. And that is that I think a man starts out in ministry knowing he's called of God, wanting to do the work of God, gets the training, and he goes into the ministry, all with very, very good motives and wanting to serve God. I think what goes wrong, first off, ministry is a tough occupation. There can be a lot of criticism. How do you handle that criticism?
Sure.
I think there's another problem in ministry, and that is that it's very demanding of time. And typically, the people I've counseled, they almost every single one of them does something that would amount to neglecting their own marriage relationship. And so there's that element. I think as you're seeking the danger of that occupation, and we all struggle with this in terms of our own selfishness, is the thing you want to do is get up on Sunday morning and preach a sermon and have someone say, "Pastor, that was a great sermon." There's a
right.
fine line there. You can want that affirmation, or you can preach a good sermon so that the people of God hear the word of God and have a chance for the Spirit of God to work and bring real transformation. And it's for the glory of God.
Right.
And that's where they start out. The problem is I think, is you're grappling with all the challenges and difficulties. If you don't have a good mentor, someone really helping you and guiding you, you start to just say, I just want someone to like me. I just want someone to like my sermon. And so you subtly start preaching sermons more because you want people to come back, which everybody needs to come back to church and support church. You want people to come and like what you're doing and think favorably of you. It very subtly becomes more about me than the glory of God, the service of God. I think ministry is a high-risk occupation. And as you do all that more for yourself, to give the classical example, and you're neglecting your relationship with your wife, in walks a woman into your office who's got a difficult marriage, and you're a wonderful pastor, caring kind of person. She pours out her heart. You're there for her. She just thinks, wow, you're the most wonderful thing in the world. Hey, I haven't felt that from my wife in 10 years, is the thought. And it's just wonderful to be so affirmed. But it's coming from a woman. And I think, you know, you're going to step over that line. The chances of that are extremely high. I think pornography is a little bit different, but because its origins go back to childhood, practically, average age is 11 where pornography starts. I think, again, you know it's wrong. You've been fighting it in college, fighting it in seminary. But now, again, it's a way of comforting yourself, a way of in fantasy finding what essentially the man who's having adultery, an adulterous relationship, is finding in a different way. It's the same thing. You're using it to kind of feed yourself, take care of yourself, because you're hurting, and we're not turning to God, and we're losing the real focus and purpose of our lives. If you're a pastor and you were living in secret sexual sin, whatever shape or form, I believe if you're a true child of God, God is going to expose that sin. It's a matter of time, and I have never been able to figure out God's timing on this. You know, you'd think God would do it the first time you stepped over the line, say into an adulterous relationship, but you know, it can go on for years. I am just a complete believer that God will intervene because he loves us and he cares about us, and he will bring this to light. And so what I usually like to say to pastors, if I'm speaking to a group of pastors, you know, at a pastor's breakfast or a pastor's conference, be sure of this, your sins will find you out. This is not as frightening as you think. This is actually God's mercy and God's grace. Because there's going to come a point where God's just going to say, enough is enough. You're not going to deal with this. I'm going to have to expose it. And I think God in his grace and mercy will. It doesn't mean it won't be challenging, difficult, and there's a lot of serious consequences. So my first word is, it would be a whole lot better for you, your wife, and your church if you didn't put everybody through that and you just decided to come forward and really deal with it. And I think the other side of that I would quickly add is that you know, I've walked with many pastors through the horror and the trauma of loss of their ministry, loss of their paycheck, their marriage, you know, being greatly damaged and harmed. But I have seen guys turned around in where there is a new marriage, there's a new ministry. And people say this to me. They would say, Harry, I would never change all of that horror if it meant I would lose what I now have with God and what I have with my wife. God is still not done with you, and he can really use your life and your ministry for his greater glory.
You've been listening to our interview with Dr. Harry Schomburg. Visit his website, stonegateresources.org, to hear more about his counseling facility located 20 miles north of Colorado Springs. Read more of Dr. Schomburg's thoughts on sexual sin in his books, False Intimacy and Undefiled. Thank you for listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. Listen to more episodes on iTunes or on the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.